Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We are reading this morning, devotees. Ah, yes, thank you. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. And we are reading verse 33. Atashrayatvam Shabdasya Drashtur Lingatvam Eva Cha Tam Matratvam Cha Nabaso Lakshanam Kavayo Vidu Arta Shrayatvam Shabdasya Drashtolingatvam Evacha
Drashtolingatvam Evacha
Tanmatratvam chanabaso Lakshanam kavayo vidu
Lakshanam kavayo vidu
Artashrayatvam shabdasya
Artashrayatvam shabdasya
Drashtolingatvam evacha
Drashtolingatvam evacha
Tanmatratvam chanabaso Lakshanam kavayo vidu
Lakshanam kavayo vidu
Artashrayatvam shabdasya
Artashrayatvam shabdasya
Drashtolingatvam evacha
Drashtolingatvam evacha
Tanmatratvam chanabaso Lakshanam kavayo vidu
Lakshanam kavayo vidu
Arta Ashrayatvam. That which conveys the meaning of an object.
That which conveys the meaning of an object.
Shabdasya. Of sound.
Of sound.
Drashto.
Drashto.
Of the speaker.
Of the speaker.
Lingatvam.
Lingatvam.
That which indicates the presence.
That which indicates the presence.
Eva.
Eva.
Also.
Also.
Cha.
And.
Tatmatratvam.
Tatmatratvam.
The subtle element.
The subtle element.
Cha.
And.
Nabasa. Of ether.
Of ether.
Lakshanam.
Lakshanam.
Definition.
Definition.
Kavaya.
Kavaya.
Learned persons.
Learned persons.
Vidu.
Vidu.
No.
No.
Translation. Persons who are learned and who have true knowledge define sound as that which conveys the idea of an object, indicates the presence of a speaker screened from our view, and constitutes the subtle form of ether. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is very clear herein that as soon as we speak of hearing, there must be a speaker. Without a speaker, there's no question of hearing. Therefore, the Vedic knowledge, which is known as Shruti, or that which is received by hearing, is also called Apurusha. Apurusha means not spoken by any person materially created. It is stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hrida. The sound of Brahman, or Veda, was first impregnated into the heart of Brahma, the original learned man, Adi Kavaye. How did he become learned? Whenever there's learning, there must be a speaker and the process of hearing. But Brahma was the first created being. Who spoke to him? Since no one was there, who was the spiritual master to give knowledge? He was the only living creature. Therefore, the Vedic knowledge was imparted within his heart by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone as Paramatma. Vedic knowledge is understood to be spoken by the Supreme Lord, and therefore it is free from the defects of material understanding. Material understanding is defective. If we hear something from a conditioned soul, it is full of defects. All material and mundane information is tainted by illusion, error, cheating, and imperfection of the senses. Because Vedic knowledge was imparted by the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to material creation, it is perfect. If we receive that Vedic knowledge from Brahma in the cyclic succession, then we receive perfect knowledge. Every word we hear has a meaning behind it. As soon as we hear the word water, there is a substance, water, behind the word. Similarly, as soon as we hear the word God, there is a meaning to it. If we receive that meaning and explanation of God from God himself, then it is perfect. But if we speculate about the meaning of God, it is imperfect. Bhagavad Gita, which is the science of God, is spoken by the personality of Godhead himself. This is perfect knowledge. Mental speculators, or so-called philosophers, who are researching what is actually God, will never understand the nature of God. The science of God has to be understood in the cyclic succession from Brahma, who was first instructed about knowledge of God by God himself. We can understand the knowledge of God by hearing Bhagavad Gita from a person authorized in the disciplic succession. When we speak of seeing, there must be form. By our sense perception, the beginning experience is the sky. Sky is the beginning of form, and from the sky, other forms emanate. The objects of knowledge and sense perception begin, therefore, from the sky. Hare Krishna. Interesting. Artashrayatvam shabdasya drashto lingatvam evacha tanmatratvam chanabaso lakshanam kavayo vidu. Persons who are learned and who have true knowledge define sound as that which conveys the idea of an object, indicates the presence of a speaker screened from our view, and constitutes the subtle form of ether. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchkalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, so Lord Kapila again is continuing his description and explanation of the process of creation, which also includes the explanations of the natures of the different things which appear, which manifest in the course of the process of creation step by step. So this is an interesting one. They're all interesting, but this is interesting. Sound. Sound is described here in three ways. That which conveys the idea of an object, which indicates the presence of a speaker who we can't see, and which constitutes the subtle form of ether. Ether, well, you know, in material medical science, they have a substance they call ether. Some of you may have experienced it before. It's like an anesthetic, isn't it? Something.
Finer spirit.
Huh?
Finer spirit.
Anyway, I've sniffed ether before, whenever, I can't remember, when I was a child maybe, and it's sort of, yeah, but that's not ether, that's not the ether which is being talked about in the Vedic literatures. One way which is used in Bhagavad Gita particularly, it's used. One way of understanding ether is that ether means space, the sky, space. There's space, yeah. And there are interesting discussions about what that means. What is it? I think it's the 8th chapter, or maybe 9th chapter, beginning of the 9th chapter, perhaps, of Bhagavad Gita, that when something is situated in space, then it has no contact with space, because space cannot be contacted, because it has no substance. As earth, water, fire, as earth, water, fire, and air, they have some substance. So in the space here between us, there is air. And if we move our hand like that, we can feel the air. But you can't feel the space, because it's just the space. So it's subtle. It's the most subtle of what we refer to as the gross elements, although really it's too subtle to be gross. But it's not as subtle as mind, intelligence, and ego, false ego. They're even more subtle. Yeah, so, well, anyway, it's a very interesting subject. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he makes the point that as soon as we talk of hearing, there must be a speaker. Yes, there must be, in sort of the language we use sometimes, there must be a chanter. Shravanam Kirtanam. Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Achanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam. Prahlad Maharaj describes the process of devotional service in these words. It's definitely the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing and then chanting. Kirtanam, that word is used. So as soon as hearing goes on, for hearing to go on, chanting has to go on. Or at least some process of producing something which can be heard. You know, like obviously if we drop this on the floor, we're not chanting, but we'll definitely hear it. So there has to be some process of producing the sound which can be heard. Otherwise, if there's no process for producing sound, there can be no process for hearing. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada, when there's discussion about hearing and chanting and the importance of either or both of these activities, there are definitely cases, places, where Srila Prabhupada says that hearing is the most important, but there are also places where Srila Prabhupada says that chanting is most important. And ultimately, when you really come down to it, the two are inseparable, particularly when we talk about in a transcendental sense, hearing some transcendental sound vibration. Yeah. Chanting has to be there. Without chanting, there's no hearing. So hearing is dependent on chanting. Therefore, it can be said that chanting is most important, because also when chanting happens, hearing must happen. So it's an interesting subject. It's an interesting little sort of picture of an important part of Krishna consciousness. Yes. So, the sound. Prabhupada in the purport talks about hearing the word God, or shall we say Krishna. I don't know. Krishna we know. That's transcendental sound vibration. Krishna, Rama, Chaitanya, Nityananda. These are all transcendental sounds. God, is that a transcendental sound? I don't know, actually. Because it's, you know, sort of etymologically, historically, it arises from the German language somehow or other. I forget. I read about it many years ago. Where does this word God really come from? So anyway, whatever. But certainly when we chant the name Krishna, Rama, when we chant Hare Krishna, we chant every day, we were just chanting just now, we are associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, of course, this is one of the cornerstone principles of Krishna consciousness, that the names of the Lord are the Lord. He is present. He is not different from his name. He is the same as his name. Yes. So that's there. If we chant nicely, then we associate with Krishna. His association has an impact on us. Our hearts become cleansed step by step. Negativity is removed. And Krishna gradually, you know, it's not mechanical. It's actually he himself, eventually he agrees to appear or to be perceptible by us. He's already there, but he allows us to actually see him, perceive him, touch him, etc., within his names and the other sound vibrations like related to him, like his pastimes, his philosophy, all these things. At least in my case, I can say I haven't seen Krishna in his names. And I suspect you haven't either. But he's there. And if we carry on, and if we really try, in Krishna consciousness, trying is really important. So important to try to be a devotee properly and like that. So if we keep trying despite you know, whatever, different things, shortcomings. But at some point, Krishna, because he's very merciful, very kind and considerate, and he wants us to come to him, Krishna will give us the capacity to actually perceive him in his names, in his past, the recitations of his pastimes and his philosophy, his ideas, you know, these things. We'll perceive his presence directly and we'll touch him and speak to him, and he will speak to us and we will hear him. At the moment, of course, well, anyway, you all know. But at least we're still here in Krishna consciousness. At least we're still practicing and trying. Yes, means some experience has come. Some experience of the presence of the Lord has come. Otherwise, you know, Srila Prabhupada, there were occasions when Prabhupada was challenged that why chant Hare Krishna? Why not just chant anything? Water. Water, water, water. But the fact is, and Prabhupada explained that, water, the substance, and water, the word, they are not the same. They're two different things. So if you chant water, 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 or Coca-Cola, you know, this type of thing, then you will not get any experience, except, as Prabhupada said, you will become thirsty, because if you talk too much, you kind of, you know, you become thirsty. You use up the moisture, saliva and whatnot. So that difference is there. But because Krishna is present, therefore, at least we've had enough experience that here we are today having chanted our rounds, and I think feeling nice, nice experience. And every day it's like this, at least if we really do try our best, we come out at the end of the morning program feeling nice, because we've had contact with Krishna. The way Srila Prabhupada explains it here, it is interesting, and the way Lord Kapila also, that a person who's learned, who has true knowledge, defines sound as that which conveys the idea of an object. And the way Srila Prabhupada explains that, he actually gives the example of what the word water. It's almost like a hint that there's some sort of presence of the substance in the word. It's, you know, it's leaning at least in that direction. Yeah. It's leaning in that direction. I mean, no, obviously, as we just said and Prabhupada said, it is not exactly like that as with the word Krishna. But at least sound conveys the idea of an object, the idea which is then conceived within the mind. And to some degree, there's a type of a presence of the particular item within the mind when you think about it. A type of presence. And I'll give you an example. If one, or when one, just in a material sense, if one thinks of some nice material experience or some nice material music, then people feel somewhat nice. Of course. Why do they invest so, why do they buy so many, you know, records or go to so many concerts and things like that? If there's no experience from just, this is the example of the music, which of course is a sound vibration. So the whole phenomenon of hearing the music and some reaction taking place internally and then even externally, purchasing some music, purchasing a ticket to a concert, you know, sometimes these people pay loads of money to attend such events, and it's all about the sound. Yeah, it's all about the sound. So somehow or other, there is some sort of indirect, or there's something going on which is related in a material way to the actual phenomenon of chanting Hare Krishna, in which one is actually associating with the Lord, and you will have his association, you will see him, touch him, and have association in no lesser way than we have association with each other. So it's subtle, but it's not quite as simple as saying that there is nothing to it at all. Because if there was actually nothing to it, then people would not react when they hear music and so on and so forth. So, yes. So sound conveys the idea of an object, and that idea reacts internally with the subtle body. And then the subtle body reacts with the gross body also. Sometimes people hear, you know, some, just say, some bad news. And it reacts with the subtle body. And then the subtle body reacts with the gross body, and they cry. This happens. Definitely happens so much. So it's somehow or other an idea, some sound vibration becomes converted into something which stimulates the gross body. Anyway, this is sort of hypothetical to some degree, but it's in keeping with what is being discussed here. Prabhupada talking about God, Prabhupada says, if we speculate about the meaning of God, it's imperfect. Whereas if we hear from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or those in disciplic succession, authorized people who are presenting the same thing, then we get the meaning, and then we get the realization and eventually the association. But otherwise, people on the material platform, if they just speculate about God, it's imperfect, and it's really, to say the very most, it's insubstantial. It's not important. It has no real depth or significance to it. Like we see sometimes, I've mentioned many times before, I'll mention again, that sometimes I have seen some pictures of from other traditions, we'll say specifically the Christian tradition, because you won't get any pictures of God in the Muslim tradition. It's haram. But in the Christian tradition. And I've seen different things. In one case I saw this elderly gentleman. He was really old. And if you think I'm old or Ram Govinda Maharaj, this person was much older, really much older, sitting on a cloud playing a harp. This was the picture, and it was meant to be depicting God, but it's just stupid. It's an insult, really, because as Brahma Samhita says, what is it now? Vedeshu Durlabham, Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Adyam Purana Purusham. He is the original, most ancient person, Navayovanam Cha. But he's always a fresh youth. So it's just not nice. It's belittling to try to depict God as some, you know, like total geriatric. I remember many years ago, it was 70, might have been 77, just towards the end of my stay in England, we were trying to find another big property, because Bhaktivedanta Manor was too small. And I was the one who was trying to find. So I was driving around visiting all these big places, and eventually we bought a place. Yeah, big, huge, gigantic place. Really gigantic. So one place I visited was a hospice. And in it, there are all these old people who are so old and, you know, just on the edge of leaving. And you normally, in public, you don't see such people. It's like another stage of old age to what you may see in the street. Yeah, it was beyond. Yeah, and sure. It was really quite eye-opening, actually. So God, in that picture, looked like that. He was just on a goner. He was on the edge of just dropping off. Really. And another one I saw, somehow or other one devotee got a Christian little tract in a comic form of someone coming to God somehow or other. And in the end, the person meets God, you know, it's cartoons, a comic strip. In the end, he meets God, and then he sees God. And what does he see? There's this big throne, really big throne. And you can vaguely make out some outline of a really big person, like partial outline. But the main thing is, there's this massive effulgence. And that's God, you know. That's how we should see God. Of course, it reminded me of Ishapanishad, the last few verses. But in Ishapanishad, the understanding is that for the devotee, the Lord removes the effulgence. That was not there in this cartoon. Yes, so sound vibration then, it passes through ether. Or Prabhupada uses the term sky. Sky. And then from sky, other forms emanate. The objects of knowledge and sense perception begin therefore from the sky. somehow before they actually start coming into forms that can be perceived by the senses, like even the air, which is the next after the ether or the sky. There is a stage of existence, of objects of knowledge, which is there in the sky. Let me just read it. When we speak of seeing, there must be form. By our sense perception, the beginning experience is the sky. Sky is the beginning of form, and from the sky, other forms emanate. The objects of knowledge and sense perception begin, therefore, from the sky. These things, there is a state of existence of not just subtle matter like mind, intelligence, false ego, but what we call gross matter, which normally, when we use that term gross matter, we refer to normal, tangible things like our bodies. But there's a state of existence of those things within sky. And then, as the elements evolve or develop further, then that is converted into directly perceptible form. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, well.